You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome and greet all you listeners wherever you are, on the computer, in your car, at home listening, wherever you are. We just greet you. We welcome you to our program. We thank you for listening in, and we've been on this program for over 17 years now, and so we're always honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon, and Pastor Donna and I, we co-pastor a church here in Stuart that we have for 21 years, going on 22 years now, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and we got the you want, whether you want a CD or a tape, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So we're honored to be here with you, as we are every Saturday for 1 hour, and it goes by so fast, doesn't it, Pastor Don? And so my precious wife across the desk from me, she's got some announcements to make, and so we'll do that, and then we'll do some little teaching here with you today about a time called Teshuvah. Amen.
Teshuvah.
Mm-hmm.
Means to repent.
That's right.
To turn around. To return. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, yes, well, we are having a wonderful time, and we're excited about what the high holy holidays and the season we're into, mm-hmm. into now, and we're in the month of Elul, yeah. And we at the end of this month we'll be into Tishri 1.
We've got a new year coming, right? 5775 is coming.
5775, a lot of things to expect this next month or so. So I always want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. And then we also meet on Friday nights at 7 p.m. We have a Shabbat service, and we spend time seeking God's presence and soaking and spending time with the Lord. And we also have communion that night. And then Saturday we have dance ministry and mm-hmm. worship arts ministry, and that's at in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. And then in the afternoon today we have a video. And it's about, what's the title of the video, Pastor Gene?
It's about Islam.
Islam. So.
Very well done.
It's very, very, talks about the four horsemen.
That's right.
And gives a lot of revelation there out from the book of the Revelation. And
that's
also
right.
From Ezekiel, right?
That's right.
And so that's going to be very informative, and then we have prayer after that. We pray about 6 o'clock. So if you want to come out any of those times, we'd love to have you come and join us in the services and meeting with the Lord. Amen. I want to mention that we have, we will be doing the Bible Marathon again this year.
It's not too far away, yeah.
Not too far away.
Two and a half months or so.
Keep that in prayer. Amen. Also want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey over on the islands and bless them, and we just keep them in prayer. They're just getting ready to build that building.
Been meeting
in a tent for just like they did in the wilderness for
quite a few years, yeah.
But before long, the blocks are going to be going up, and the building will start to take form. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Also want to say hello to others that are listening. How about Daryl and Judy? They might be up there listening.
In the Carolinas, yeah.
And others around the... Whoever you are, anywhere.
Wherever you are.
Yes, we just bless you. And we want to mention also that this radio broadcast is also on the internet, so you can listen to us every Saturday at 12 noon. Or you can go back and listen to the podcast. They have them for at least a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And just go to WCNO.com and then go to Saturday, and then you find Raising the Standard, Pastor Gene Hilton. And you can listen to whatever program you'd like to listen to at that time. Amen. Amen. So I want to give the telephone numbers. If you'd like to call, if you'd like to have a calendar, when the new calendars are out.
Several people's responded already.
Yes, and if you're still looking to wanting to know the prophetic calendar, the one we talked about has all the feasts of the Lord on it, you just send us a self-addressed envelope, and we'd be glad to mail those to you. So our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 773-285-7007.
You said 773.
Did I say 773? Oh, my. Excuse me. I will repeat that. Area code 772.
There you go.
285-7007.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't want you calling somewhere else, do we?
No. Well, I don't even know if there's an area code there.
That's right.
We're in Stuart. Yeah. Praise God.
So as we open up here, we just mentioned, a lot of people listen to this program, Pastor Donna, for years, every Saturday.
Yes.
And have you ever thought about maybe giving an offering to the ministry that, this program is not free. We have to pay for that. And so if you've been blessed with what we do, and we're not begging anybody, but we're just asking if you've been blessed with the program over the years, maybe the Lord will speak to you today during the program to give something to help support it. And so we would be honored to have you do that, and God will honor you as well as you obey what he tells you to do. And so if you would like to do that, you just make a check out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. So avail yourselves of that. And we always mention, and sometimes we don't, I've written a book about God's calendar. It's called also Pictures of the Messiah. And there's a lot of lessons in it, and we cover all of God's appointed times from Leviticus 23, and what their historical value and what he had in place for that, and then the prophetic implications. We have a lesson in there about Hanukkah. We have a lesson in there about Purim. And we just have, there's a lot of lessons, and it gives you the Jewish roots. So we offer that for a love offering of $25 and maybe $3 for shipping and handling, and I'd be glad to get that out to you too. So you can call that number that Pastor Donna gave you if you'd like to have that. Or you could just make out a check to that same address we just mentioned and request it, and we'd be glad to mail it out to you. So we're honored to be here with you. And the more we find out about our Savior and what God has in his word, it helps us to grow, mature, and we'll stay on the path. And what does our country now need to stay on the path, right, Pastor Don?
Amen.
We just totally deviate. We're going to show you some things here that happened with Israel. And we're very close to the same place in our country as well. So we're in this time, and today happens to be the 11th day of the month of Elul, which is the sixth month on God's prophetic calendar, okay? Now, on the civil calendar, it would be the 12th month, but we're not on that. It's prophetically, we're on the spiritual prophetic calendar. So this month we're in is the sixth month on God's calendar, prophetically on the lunar calendar. So I think about that. Six is man's number, isn't it, Pastor Donna? So he's got something to tell us here. And so we're in this time, and we asked people the last Saturday when we prayed and all, and we're going to ask you also, during this month, this is a time that the Jewish people that are religious, now a lot of them over there are secular and they don't do this, but the ones that are seeking after God, we hope they find the Messiah at this time, but what they do is they have an inspection of themselves to see if they are right with God. And they have 30 days of this. They blow the shofar every single day, and they're in great inspection of themselves at that particular time. Well, now we as believers, we don't just look to this month, do we, Pastor Donna?
No.
We should be doing this all year long to make sure that we're always ready and right with the Lord. Even when we take communion, we should have a pure heart and clean hands. Everything is best of our ability and knowledge that we have at
that
time.
Right.
And so if we do that, then we're going to be blessed. And so this is an important month. It's coming up, and on our calendar, on the 25th of this month, will be Tishri 1, and the 26th will be Tishri 2.
And that's the new year.
That's the new year.
5775.
Right. And it's also called Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year and
the
all
head
that.
Of the year.
But
yeah.
We've talked about this a lot on the radio, and I believe from the scriptures that one year, we don't know what year for sure, one of those 2 days we could be caught out of here and
be gone.
And the resurrection from the dead would come.
Catching away.
And we would be gone on
Thank
one of those
Lord.
2 days.
One of those 2 days.
So we're leading up all to this. And then
we need to teach on that. Perhaps next week
we'll talk more about it.
It says you won't know the day or the hour, but it doesn't say
we'll know the season.
Well,
that's
we should know the season.
Amen.
Paul warned him. He said, you know these things.
It's right in the Bible.
I want to mention also that 9/11 is coming up this week,
next Thursday.
And we need to pray. So I want to mention also, if you want to join us in prayer, we're going to be praying at, you can call us at the number we gave you. We're going to be praying at the Alliance Church on that day, on Thursdays. Starting at 12 noon.
It's on Osceola Boulevard here in Stuart, Florida.
Stuart, Florida, right next to the hospital.
Got a gracious pastor, Pastor
Jim Brocious,
is allowing us to do that at his church. And so come and pray with us.
So perhaps, we need to pray, and it's a very important day. So we need to pray for protection for
our country
and our nation, and just seek
a lot
God
of things.
And pray. There's so many things to pray about because we're under attack.
We sure are.
We may not realize it, but a lot of people don't realize it. But we really are. We're under attack, and so we need to pray.
And what's the battle all about? It's a battle of darkness and light.
That's right.
Will always overcome darkness, and so
we're
in the light. We're not in darkness, as Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that we're not in darkness, but we're in light, aren't we?
So those that are in light need to come and pray.
That's right.
We are not to hide under a bushel basket,
right?
We're the salt of
the earth. Hallelujah.
And we are to be, And so if the salt loses its flavor or taste, it's no good for, not good for anything,
right?
So we need to be salty, and we also need to be light, and so we need to pray.
Mm-hmm. So what I did this week, I did a little thinking about the month of Elul, and today, we mentioned today is the 11th day, so we're well into the month, and I got thinking about some things, what was mentioned in the Holy Word about the fifth month, and I saw two places, I think it's the only two places in the Bible where it mentions the month of Elul, and it's in Ezekiel chapter 8, and also in Haggai chapter 1, and in Haggai, the sixth month, the first day of the month, and he shows over there what happened with Haggai, and then what they did was it was all revolving around the temple, to get the temple restored. So it's about God's presence, okay, back in those days. Well, where's God's presence today? It's not in buildings and all that, edifices. He's in us. We're the ark. We carry the Lord with us, and so we need to be that witness in the world. We need to let our light shine, and then we can be the salt of the earth, and people will see it in our lives. And so we see this in the Bible. But over in Ezekiel is an interesting thing, and I want to go over there and read some scriptures with you today on the radio. I'm going to go to Ezekiel chapter 8. So if you're at home, you can open up a Bible and follow along. If you're in the car, I know you can't read your Bible, but you can listen. As we mentioned, if you'd like to get a copy of the tape or the CD, just send a love offering to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413. It's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. And mention the date of the program, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 8, Pastor Donna. And let's see what the Bible says here, okay? Now, this is an incredible time in Israel's history because they were in total rebellion against what God was wanting to do. And we'll see as we're going to read some scriptures here, and we'll see what happened. I'm going to start in the very first verse. Now, have ears to hear.
I think as we're reading this, we need to think about where we're at as well.
That's right, if we're going to
do that. We're in rebellion against God's word.
That's right.
The things and the laws that we have
passed
in America totally against God's
contrary
word. And when you get so much, when this cup of iniquity or the cup of sin fills up, what happened to Israel? They were judged.
All right.
And they were sent into captivity. for because of their disobedience. And
that's right.
So what's going to happen to other people?
You got it.
We say we're God's people, aren't we? We're God's
right.
children. Well, God's children are supposed to obey their father.
Amen.
And their parents. So, you know, if we're not obeying God, what God has said,
we're in rebellion.
We're in rebellion.
Disobedience.
And you know, Jesus said, Jesus didn't come to change the law. He came to fulfill the law. So people say, well, this is a different time. You know, we're not living like they did live back then. We're not living in the Old Testament. No, we're not in the Old Testament, but God's Word.
And the patterns are there, yeah.
You should have a Bible that has the Old Testament, I'm going to call it, and the New Testament, and you should read the whole thing. Because God doesn't change. He
That's
says,
right.
"I am God and I change not."
That's what he told Malachi.
So don't just think we're talking about history here when Pastor Gene starts to read. We're talking about things that happened in the past, but they happen, they repeat. God is
they
a
repeat.
Cycling God. And if you have get his book, you'll see how God cycles. And he follows the calendar. He follows the prophetic calendar as he cycles through the year and through the years. And so when the cup of iniquity... Is that the right word to use?
Yep.
Or sin, gets so full, God brings a judgment. You know, he has patience, but he also is a, he's holy.
And he's just.
And he's just.
That's right.
And he also, and he brings judgment.
Yep.
And he brings judgment on nations. And you will see that, you know, nations rise and nations fall. And nations rise and nations fall. And it's just a cycle. It goes on and on and on. Well, does America think we're just going to rise and stay at the top of every nation and continue to live in sin?
And mock God, yeah.
And mock God and continue to be rebellious. And says rebellion is like witchcraft.
That's right.
Continue to be rebellious and continue to pass laws that are against God's word. God hasn't changed.
That's right.
God
sure
hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. And God has those basic laws were for us to order our life so that we would be blessed. But when you start changing the laws and start doing things that are totally against God, then what you are doing is this nation is rebelling. And so when a nation rebels long enough, God will take charge.
That's right.
And judgment will come. And God will, you know, we can have natural disasters, yes, but God can also use other nations to bring us down.
He's done it before. That's right.
That's right. So God raises up a nation. It could even be a wicked nation. And many times it is a wicked nation.
Yeah.
To bring down a nation that's in rebellion.
To get us on our knees.
To get us on our knees. To get us to pray. To get us to repent.
That's right.
Well, 9/11, what happened then, Pastor Gene? Many people were praying after that. Many people started going to church.
For about a month.
But it didn't last long.
No, about a month.
It didn't last long. Well, I guess it wasn't severe enough.
Yep, they fell back in their old ways right away.
And it's so easy to fall back. And we can see in Israel, they fell back in their old ways. They'd have a good king, a godly king, then they'd have a rotten king, you know?
That's right.
And so how can a rotten king,
disobedient
have,
king
a,
yeah.
have a godly son?
That's
I don't
right.
know. Or how can a godly king have a rotten son? I don't know. That would change the laws. See, every time you have somebody new in office, the laws start getting changed.
Yeah.
That's why we need to pray. Also, if you know if the catching down way doesn't happen this year or next year, we really need to pray for a godly president.
That's right. We sure do. Amen.
So we need to think about these things as in light of where we're at today.
That was
my point, because we're going to see that, you know, God doesn't change.
That's
and
right.
he's gonna bring judgment on those who are disobedient.
So as we read through this, you can see where we're at today. We're gonna just apply some of this to where we're at today.
Amen.
And I'm thinking about what Pastor Donna said several weeks ago. God just told me one morning when I was there by myself praying, and that America's cup of iniquity is about full. It's
yes.
Iniquity is the worst one of all three sins: sin, transgression, iniquity. Because iniquity comes from a word that means to pervert, to twist.
Pervert.
And that's what we have today. It perverts the word of God. Well, let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 8. It took you over. Let's read a few verses and we'll talk about this as we go. And we may not get through all this, but if we don't, maybe we can conclude it next week.
And one of them has to do with marriage and what's happening. About every week or every 2 weeks, you're seeing another state.
That's caving into the same-sex marriage. That's right. And they have laws on the books, and their courts in that state are overruling the laws that are in place against this, and they're saying it's okay to have this happen.
We need to pray for Florida. We
That's
live here
right.
in Florida.
That's right. All right, chapter 8 of Ezekiel,
mm-hmm.
verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month." So here we are. The sixth year, the sixth month, is the month of Elul. in the fifth day. So it was on the 5th of Elul. Last week, we were very close to that. We shared our program last week. As I sat in mine house, Ezekiel says, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins, even downward fire. Boy, fire. And from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by the lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem. So Ezekiel's being carried away in a vision, and was taken to Jerusalem.
Taken to Jerusalem, to the holy city.
To the holy city, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy. Woo.
God is a jealous God. The Bible says that.
Which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. Now look what he's going to tell us going on at this time. Mm-hmm. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here,
yes,
that I should go far off from my sanctuary? And we'll find out later that he left. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see even what? He says, greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. So here's your first picture of what? Graffiti.
Graffiti.
Writing abominable animals on the walls. Amen?
In the temple.
In the temple.
In the temple, hidden away.
Mm-hmm.
In the room.
And I thought about this when I read this morning. I think about, we got this tattoo craze in America.
Mm.
Everywhere. And Christians, the Bible says you're not to put any marks on your body. Okay? Well, they got all kinds of things on their body. And you know, if it happened before they got saved, we know when they got saved, you can't do anything about it. But after they come to Christ, that should never happen. And so here, these people here were supposed to know God, and they were drawing all these pictures and things inside on the walls,
a hole in the wall
of the temple.
And you know, and they think, well, God can't see. Well,
that's right.
You know, God sees everything. God doesn't have to have a hole in the wall either
that's
to
right.
see through. So here they're doing these terrible things. And where is their fear of God?
That's right.
In the house of God. There's no holy fear of God. With these people that were doing these things, they had become totally disgusting.
That's right. So we're the temple of God now, aren't we? So we're not to put any markings on our body. We're the temple of God. We're holy. Amen.
We are to be holy.
So this was incredible what
be
they were
holy.
Doing. But look, this is just the beginning of this. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark?
Mm-hmm.
I think about our leaders in our country.
Making decisions in the dark.
That's
okay,
right.
They make decisions. They change votes. They change laws, and they do it in the at night.
And they get signed at night.
They get signed at night, and they do it when nobody is you know, no one can come against them.
That's
or
right.
stand for what mm-hmm. righteousness or say their word. They just, you know, they got the pen in hand, and they sign the papers.
So it's
change the laws.
Yeah.
Change the laws with
That's
the stroke
right.
of the hand.
That's it. It says, every man in his chambers of his imaginary. In other words, whatever they imagine to
whatever
do.
They want
for
to
they
do.
Say, the Lord seeth us not,
oh.
but he sees everything.
Whoa.
The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they greater than even writing on the walls of the temple. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Well, Tammuz was a pagan god. We know that. So what did they do? This is if you check your dictionaries about Tammuz, these women got together, and they wept for 40 days before the festival of Ishtar. Okay?
So they're worshiping another god.
That's right. It kind of makes me think about when people do Lent. It's 40 days before Passover. Well, it could be from this. We don't know, but... You know,
mm-hmm.
So this was a pagan thing, and God was very upset with this. Then, verse 15, then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. It's getting worse, see?
Worse and worse.
And that's where our country, we've just been desensitized as the years go by.
That's what happens when man starts to sin. It just gets worse and worse
worse.
And what does God say? He turns them over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
They go crazy.
But thank God the Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. We got to believe that.
In God's people, right.
That's right, in God's people. Verse 16, and he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Now they're worshiping the sun.
That's not the Son of God.
That's right.
That's
now you can see the reason why God didn't want them on a solar calendar.
That's right.
He wanted them on the lunar calendar, according to the moon, the new moon every month, okay?
So there were other people that worshiped the
That's
sun.
Right.
Sun God, goddess.
Then verse 17, he says, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah? And they commit abominations, which they commit here, for they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Well, this branch, if you study this in the King James, it was called an Asherah. It was a piece of wood, and I don't want to tell you what it looked like, but anyway.
It's nasty.
And they would put it to their nose because they were worshiping pagan gods. Therefore, God says, will I also deal in fury? My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. And now we know, now the next chapter, he calls some men forth with an inkhorn, and they put a mark on all the heads of the people that are doing the right thing. And then we know the angel went through the camp and destroyed a lot of those people that did not have the mark of the Lord. And the Bible tells us in Revelation, what? That we are going to have a mark on our head also, amen? And so several places over there. And so we thank you, Lord, for that. And so we have to understand that. In verse 4 of chapter 9 says, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Okay? Now I want you to do something, Pastor Don. Let's go over to Revelation. Let's just look at some things about this name. I'd like to go, first of all, to chapter 14 in Revelation. And we'll look at a few things. And this is a pattern of what we're going to see. It's going to happen in the book of Revelation.
Amen. Amen.
These men that had their heads marked, well, what? They were doing the right thing with God, I guess. Amen. All right. Read Revelation 14:1. See what you have there.
And I looked, and lo, a lamp stood on the Mount Zion. That's in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead.
Hear that? Written in their forehead. Now go back to chapter 3 and look at verse 12 in
written
Revelation.
In their forehead.
Yeah, chapter 3, verse 12. This is all in the Word of God. So we have a pattern here, okay?
Mm-hmm. 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God.
That's right.
Wow.
Overcome. Now go to 20.
And he shall go in.
And
he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God. And the name of the city of my God, which is what?
Jerusalem.
Which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Jesus said that.
Now go to chapter 22, the last chapter in the Bible.
The last chapter.
Chapter
in the Bible.
22, verse 4.
Well, when we have the Bible marathon, we read every single
every
word.
Every single
in this
word,
Bible,
that's right.
All the way to chapter 22.
Uh huh.
Which is the last chapter, but I'm going to read
verse 4. Precious promise.
It says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads.
Hear that? So we read back.
And each one of them says in.
Not on. Not on, it says in.
In.
Interesting. Now back to Ezekiel chapter 9 now. I'm going to read verse 4 again. It says, and the Lord said unto me, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations. We should be in that place of our country right now.
That's right.
We prayed on Thursday, and it was incredible. And then last Saturday night after our video, we had a wonderful time of prayer. And I just break down sometimes praying of all the things that's going on in our country. And he says, the men that cry for all the abominations will be done in the midst thereof.
So come and pray with us tonight at 6 o'clock. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Now, verse 6 in this chapter says, slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. See, the mark's going to protect those people. And begin and begin at my sanctuary. The Bible says what? Judgment will start in the house of God. Well, this was the house of God at that particular time. All right. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Amen. Glory be to God. And I'm going to go over here. 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter 4:17. I got a note in my Bible about this. I think I remember what this is about. We see another. This is a pattern. We'll see this mentioned with Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17.
And it says, "For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?"
That's it.
Now we're talking about obedience.
Obedience.
This is in the Bible. This
That's
is
right.
in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
That obey not the gospel of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we must obey. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
That's right.
Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creature.
That's right.
Creator.
So it says right there, makes it clear that judgment will start in the house of God. So that's why we need to repent. Amen. And get right with God, all of us individually, and hopefully it'll affect somehow in the entire country. Now, I'm going to go to chapter 10 now in Ezekiel, and I'm just going to show you the tail end of chapter 10, verse 1. It says, Ezekiel has another vision, and he says at the end, "As the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubim, and scatter them over the city, and he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the men went in, and the cloud filled the inner court." Ooh, the glory of God. "Then the glory of the Lord went up," listen, "it went up from the cherubim and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with a cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of cherubim's wings was heard." I can just imagine what it sounds like.
Wow.
Amen. Now, verse 7 says, "And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims and unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof, and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under the wings." Isn't it incredible?
Under their wings.
Under their wings. And we go down to verse 12, and it says, "Their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels." Ha! That they four had. "As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel." And every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. This is revealing to us what in Revelation again. "And the second face was the face of a man. And the third the face of a lion. And the fourth the face of an eagle. And the cherubims were lifted up." This is the living creature that I saw by the river Kebar. Interesting, huh?
Yes.
Now, let's go on. "And when the cherubims went, the wheels went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. And they moved with them. When they stood, these stood," hallelujah. "And when they were filled," or I'm sorry, "when they were lifted up, these lifted up themselves also. For the spirit of the living creature was in them." Hear that? Now, listen to this. "Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubim." God was so fed up with what he'd seen. Hundreds of years the prophets came and warned Israel about what they were doing and how wrong it was. And the people would not listen. The kings would not listen to the prophets and all that. And so we know what happened with the Babylonian captivity. They were put into judgment. Well, we'll see what happens here as we read this. We know he got so fed up. He saw all these abominations within the temple. So our temple should be pure and holy before the Lord. So what happened? He just lifted up and left the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. He left. And you know, you think about it. Glory be to God. Shush.
Well, would God leave a temple, a person who says to receive Jesus? And so we are the temple of God.
That's
we're the
right.
temple of the Holy Spirit. Could we do enough of the wrong thing, sin, that God would leave us, that he would leave our temple?
He did it in that day, didn't he? And that was his house. And they just were in total sin, degradation, abominations, and so what? He left.
And doesn't the New Testament tell us that he's gonna turn us over just to another spirit?
That's right.
So if he's gonna turn us over to another spirit, then, you know, he's not going to be mixed there with another spirit, is he?
That's right.
So God will just say, he'll just leave mm-hmm. you. You don't want me. I don't want you. It says to grieve not the Holy Spirit, doesn't it?
That's right.
It says to quench not the Holy Spirit.
Got two things there, yeah.
When you're doing those things, quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit, then you know what? He's going to say, okay, you know, you don't want me. You don't need me. He'll be gone, right?
Sure.
And so if they're turned over to a their mind is all
a reprobate mind, yeah.
Mind, and it's full of evil and witchcraft or dirty things, like it was in that temple. You know, they didn't want God to see. They didn't think God could see it.
They didn't think he could see it, yeah.
But they had all this hidden sin.
That's right.
Well, hidden sin. Well, you know, maybe I won't see the hidden sin that somebody has, but God sees it.
Sure does.
So if somebody is so defiant against God, and they think that God is love, and that God is going to, you know, they're going to go to heaven no matter what they do. They can do anything they want to do. They can have all the imaginations of their mind. This is what these people were doing.
Yeah.
All the things of the imaginations of their mind. And that's all witchcraft and sin and all that. So if people today are doing that, and they think, well, because Jesus is God, Jesus loves me, and because Jesus died for me, and because God is love, you know, I can just do whatever I want to do. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, see, that's such a lie. And they've received the lie. They received another spirit. They received the spirit of the Antichrist, of the devil, actually. And they have just rejected God. And so
that's
what
right.
is God going to do? He's going to say, bye-bye. You know,
that's right.
You don't want me around. And, you know, call upon me. Call upon my name if you want me around. If you truly want to repent. If you truly want to teshuva, if
Absolutely.
You truly want to come back, you know. But here is a perfect example of how God gave him a chance. And, you know, he marked those that were his and with that name on their foreheads.
Mm-hmm.
And he also left. It says he left the temple. Well, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of God. And so you know, that can happen to people. So we need to pray because there's a lot of people. That and I also think about the scripture where it says, you know, you're not going to be hot or cold, right?
That's right.
You're lukewarm.
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 He's going to spew you out of his mouth, it said.
Yeah. Cold. Yeah, he'll spew you out of his mouth. He wants us to be hot like those fires that he had in his hand on that hand in the under that altar, the cherubims. He wants us to be on fire, to have the fire and the glory of the Lord. And when we have his fire and we have his glory, then, you know, those things, those stumbling blocks, those sins, they're going to go, they're going to leave.
That's
because
right.
they're not welcome. They're not welcome. They're not welcome in this temple.
So you think about this, when he left this threshold,
mm-hmm.
he never came back.
Never came back.
Even in Jesus' day, God was not in that house because of what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
The only time God's presence was in the house, the temple at that time, is when our Lord walked in there and taught.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the glory of God was in the place.
Well, even with Judas, it doesn't say that he came, that the, you know, he came back and he was saved.
Nope.
Does it?
Nope.
Jesus, it would be better that he had never been born.
And so you think about it. The Jews for hundreds of years did their things on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, with the veil and all that.
Right.
And there was no ark back there.
No ark.
All the things that God wanted, all the gold tools and the bowls and all of that.
Everything
was gone.
Everything was stolen.
So there was nothing behind the veil. So
the enemy had everything.
Sure.
The enemy had
everything.
The enemy wants everything here. And
that's right.
He wants every American.
Now I'm going to go over to chapter 11 in this book of Ezekiel for you for a moment.
Uh-huh.
Verse 1 says, "Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the east gate of the Lord's house." So here he's getting another vision. The east gate is the golden gate. That's the gate that Jesus is going to come through. Hallelujah. When
Thank
he comes
the Lord.
Back. Okay. To establish his kingdom, which looketh eastward, and behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jazaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief
mm-hmm.
and give wicked counsel in this city. We have a lot of that going on in our country today, don't we?
We have a lot of it going on in the church.
That's right, we do.
There are churches that say, you know, it don't have to worry about sin.
That's right. So then verse 2 says, verse 3, which say it is not near, let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh.
Hmm.
Therefore, he says, prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and he began to prophesy what was going to happen about all the slain and all that. If we go down to verse 12, it says this, and you shall know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments. Now listen to this. But have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you.
That's right. They followed the ungodly.
That's right.
You imagine the persecution that he must have had? And it makes me think about Jesus said, he says, if you're persecuted for my sake, you know, you're going to be. If when you live a holy life and you preach, he was preaching. He was saying, he did what God told him to do. He was obedient to the word of the Lord. I mean, can you imagine saying the things that he said in front of some of the people? I mean, they'd be after him, right?
That's right.
To kill him, to stone him. But he was not. He was bold. He said what God said. And we need to be bold and speak what the Lord says. Even today, because there's a lot of lies that are going out amongst even God's people, and they're being deceived. Carried away by these fables and these lines, because you know so many preachers, they preach for their own gain. They don't preach because they want to do the will of the Lord.
And to have the words spoken to change people.
Yeah. And to change people.
Yeah.
But he had to be bold to be able to speak things. And not to be afraid that, you know, he might get stoned like Stephen. Think about what Stephen.
That's
we
right.
could go to the New Testament and we can read what Stephen told those people.
He told the whole history of Israel.
That's right. Him. And they really got mad. Those Pharisees.
Oh, yeah.
They got so angry and they killed him. They stoned him.
That's right.
But, you know, he saw the glory of the Lord. He saw the glory of the Lord, and I don't think he felt any pain, you know, Stephen. But Stephen is a perfect example, almost like a mirror image of what God had Ezekiel do.
Sure.
You know, even in his short life, he said more in that chapter 7 over there in the book of Acts than many people may have said in their whole life. Just
That's
in
right.
that short time he spoke.
And it cost him his life.
It might cost us our life.
That's right, to stand true and with the Lord. So this is interesting, you know. So here we see all these patterns here that happened years ago. Well, there's a spirit behind all that that's still around. And so they were disobedient. We got so much in our country today that's disobedient. Even in the church, you know, there's doctrines being changed in the Word with people in different places. And those things are supposed to be solid foundations that we do not deviate from in any way, shape, or form. Now let's go on. Verse 13 now. In chapter 11, and it came to pass when I prophesied the judgment that we didn't read all that, but you can read chapter 11 for yourself. Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. They just died.
Just dropped dead. Like Ananias and Sapphira.
Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, O Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? So we need to be on our faces just like Jeremiah was.
And who were these people that he was speaking to, Pastor?
The leaders.
Jean? They're leaders.
They're leaders.
They're religious leaders.
Princes leaders.
Not government leaders.
Nope.
They're religious leaders.
That's right.
You know, so we have the government making bad choices for us. But what are the religious leaders doing? Are they making bad choices as well? Are they agreeing with what government says they have to do?
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, they are because of their 501c3.
Yeah.
In many cases, they are agreeing because they don't want to take the persecution.
That's right. And so they've deviated from a lot of doctrines, and they're accepting things today in the church that we should not be accepting in any way, shape, or form. And some of the things we see, you know, anti-Semitism, replacement theology, okay?
Not believing in Israel anymore.
Not believing in Israel anymore.
The church has replaced Israel.
That's right.
It's okay to have same-sex. It's okay to ordain homosexuals.
That's right.
I mean, we could go on and on and on and on what's happening in today. It's okay. Take the Bible out of the military. They can't have a Bible and they can't have a chaplain that prays in the name of Jesus. That's happened already. So look at all these things. You know, take prayer out of the schools. We could go on and on and on. But here and also with Stephen, these people that he was talking to were religious leaders.
All right.
Not governmental leaders, but religious leaders.
I want to finish reading this down. I want to go down to... we're going to go through verse 23. This is the really important part now. Now, we just read verse 13. Now, verse 14 of chapter 11 says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, look what was said to him. Son of man, is talking to Ezekiel, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get you far from the Lord unto us is this land given in possession? So they were basically mocking God. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary, listen to this, in the countries where they shall come. So all you and I today, we're a little sanctuary. God dwells in us. That gets you excited. So here was a pattern.
Individual sanctuaries.
Individual sanctuaries in the countries where they shall go. Mm-hmm. So we are a holy place now for God. Now verse 17 says, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. He's talking now about bringing them back.
Bring them back. And it's happening today.
That's right. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, mm-hmm. and all the abominations thereof from thence. See, we can remove things from our life just by praying and asking Jesus to forgive us and move on. It tells us that in 1 John.
It's called deliverance.
That's
we
right.
We can be delivered from this,
right.
from our evil, wicked life.
He's
we can,
faithful.
We can be changed.
And
we
just.
Can be changed in a
That's
moment
right.
of time. God has the power to cleanse us and to change us.
That's right.
It's His power in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
That's right. Now, verse 9 is really important.
Thank you,
Lord. He said, I will give them one heart. Listen to this. Verse 19. I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. When we're born again, that should happen instantaneously.
That's what we need, a heart of
flesh. That's what we need, heart of flesh. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, mm-hmm. and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Now listen to these last two verses mm-hmm. I'm going to read. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. Now listen to verse 23. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, and stood upon the mountain which is on the east side of the city. That mountain was the Mount of Olives. This is when everything left.
This is where Jesus left from.
That's right. He left from the Mount of Olives. This is when the Spirit of God left Israel in Jerusalem that time
comparison.
Because of their sin, their debauchery. And so we have a comparison, don't we? But Jesus is going to come back to that same mountain, and He's going to establish His kingdom to those that will walk righteous with Him and know who He is. Amen?
And
that's
after
incredible.
All these years, 2,000 years, these people have returned. They've teshuva. They've come back to
that's
the land.
Right.
Many of them, and many are coming back daily, all the time. They're making aliyah.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit of God is drawing them. You know, it's only the Spirit of God that will draw somebody from one country to travel and some of them struggled so much to get to Israel. Mm-hmm. But also you can make this comparison. You know, Jesus preached. He preached to those Pharisees and
sure
those Sadducees. And He told them the truth. And He left from the very same place, the Mount of Olives. The glory left from there. They were standing there. Then the angel said, why are you standing here? He's going to come back just in like manner.
Glory left.
He was taken up in the cloud. And so here we see the same picture of the glory of God. Leaving at this time, and then all again when Jesus left, and that was the place that God had him to leave from. Well, can't we see here? We're talking about the glory of God.
That's
without,
right.
Without God, there's no glory.
That's it.
Without Jesus, there's no glory.
So they missed their visitation, didn't they?
They missed their visitation.
And He left.
And He left.
Amen.
But He left a remnant. See, mm-hmm. He left a remnant. To go, and he told them, just like these people were scattered, he told them to go and to preach. Where? In Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, to the uttermost
parts of the earth.
Of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So he left a remnant to go and to preach. And look what's happened. Millions upon millions upon millions of people have become believers in Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
And so here we see this comparison.
Right.
You know, God is here. We're talking about this cycling. We're talking about how God repeats things.
That's right.
And different, there may be a different person, a different
situation.
But
the
you
Spirit's
can certainly
still there.
See
right.
that even the same places sometimes,
That's
the
right.
same exact places that something happened way back when. Because you know what? Ground is important. I talked about the land. The land is important. You know, God's, that land is precious to God.
Amen.
Amen. And even though it's been defiled, and it's precious to God, and God will cleanse it. He will cleanse it.
Amen.
Amen. And he's going to bring the glory.
So
he,
we
the
see,
glory of God.
We see over in Ezekiel chapter 8 when this all started, the vision was given to Ezekiel on Elul 5. So it's just, this is partly how I think the Jewish people came up with a time called Teshuvah, to repent when they saw all that. Now let's look at one of the places.
Number 5 means the number of grace.
That's
Elul
right.
Elul 1 to 5 and 5. Now he brings this forth on Elul 5.
That's right.
The number of grace and gives us all this revelation and everything and shows us all these parallels of how God moves and how God, there's so much in there, how God sees everything. He knows everything.
And he didn't tolerate things going on there then.
He won't tolerate it today.
He hasn't changed.
He doesn't tolerate it today. And in a nation, so much sin will happen, mm-hmm. and then God will bring judgment on that nation. So we really need to pray.
Sure.
So, we're going to be praying on 9/11 at the Alliance Church. You can give us a call. We'll give you the phone number in a few minutes. You'd like to come and join us. We're going to be praying on Thursday at 12 noon until who
for
knows
safety,
when, whatever God says.
That's right.
But we'll be praying there. So if you want to join us to pray, come and join us because we need to pray. We're supposed to be a house of prayer.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. You know what? We need to be a house of prayer, each individual person. But when
that's
we
right.
come together, we come together as one. See, we're unified.
There's power in that.
We're unified. Amen.
Now,
in agreement.
I'm going to take you to another place where Elul is mentioned. It's in the book of Haggai. By the way, Haggai's name in Hebrew means festive.
Uh-huh.
Now, the very first verse says this: in the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month. Now, if you don't know the Jewish lunar calendar, well, you don't know what this is. The sixth month is the month of Elul, the one we're in right now, and it was on the very first day of the month. Came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest. Now listen to what he says. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, they're saying this in their heart, the time has not come, hear this?
Uh-huh.
Has not come the time that the Lord's house should be built. They said, this is not the right time. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?
Wow.
Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. So he's telling, if we don't obey him, this is what we're going to have scarcity in our life. We're not going to have the things that God wants us to have. He wants, we should be blessed. We should be the head and not the tail. But it's all based on what? Obedience and doing what God says. So you read this book, it's talking about the establishment and the rebuilding and doing the things in the temple that need to be done at that house. In fact, chapter 2, verse 9 says, the glory of this latter house, hallelujah, that's you and I, really, shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. So the temple was rebuilt, and they thought the former house or the latter house would be greater. Well, we're the latter house
we
now,
are.
And so here's a pattern for you and I as believers.
And many people that are the latter house are saying, "Well, when is his coming?"
That's right.
You know, I've heard this story over and over and over again, but I don't really believe it anymore. You know, a lot of people don't believe in the catching away anymore, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
They don't believe
them
in the rapture, the mm-hmm. catching away. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just don't know the Word of God. They have been so busy about their own, doing their own thing, their own lives, that we have neglected reading and studying the Word of God. And the Bible says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto
God.
God.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing
the word of truth.
Truth. That's it.
So, but we to be to unto God.
That's right.
See, not unto man, not unto mm-hmm. the people who listen to us preach, but unto God. Every man has to answer for himself.
That's right.
Now, because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not a house. It's not a temple. It's not a building. It's not a church building.
It's us.
It's not when you walk into your church that you're all of a sudden you become holy.
No.
Holy, holy, holy. Raise up holy hands.
Yep.
No, it's not that.
It's all the time.
You are a temple, and if you're walking into a church and you've got sin in your life and you're not clean, you don't have clean hands and a pure heart, you have just come in. You're defiling the rest of the people in the church. So when we need to cleanse ourselves and be holy, Jesus says, for I am holy.
That's
you
right.
be holy.
That's right. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses here in chapter 2. We got almost 5 minutes. It says, verse 3 says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Because he's rebuking them because they said, now's not the time to rebuild. All right? And then he goes down to verse 4 and he tells them at the end, he says, to start the work. And he says, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, listen to this,
That's right.
The earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I believe this is talking about Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts.
And so Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
He is the Prince of Peace. So here they finally got around and they began to rebuild the temple like God required. Amen. It's incredible. Amen. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So they began to lay the foundation and all that, and they restored the temple again in that day. Hallelujah.
And even in the New Jerusalem, you know, it's going to come down where Jesus went up.
That's
going to come down right there in Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is going to be in Jerusalem. It's going to be over Jerusalem.
Amen.
And, you know, it's not going to be someplace. Other nation, won't be in any other nation. No, it's going to be where?
Right there,
right where Jesus was. He was born a Jew. He died a Jew. He's coming back as a Jew. And he's going to come back to Jerusalem. And that's where the New Jerusalem will be as well. And we will go there every year. I wouldn't mind living there. Amen.
That's right.
But, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
So,
but
we have to remember what the Word says, don't we? We have to walk a holy life with the Lord. He told us to do that. And it tells you in the book of Hebrews, if we don't pursue what? Holiness.
Mm-hmm.
What's that mean? Being set apart for God. It says you'll never see the face of the Lord.
And he's
and
a covenant keeping
God. Yeah, we got
God.
This thought that we can just make a profession one day to Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And then we just go live like the rest of the world.
Live
we're
like
going to be
devil.
Okay.
Live like the devil.
Look what we saw there in Ezekiel there, chapters 8 mm-hmm. through 11. Amen. All the stuff that they were doing were contrary to the Word of God. Amen.
Praise
secret
God.
Sin, all these things. It has to go.
Sin.
The church has to have a pure heart and clean hands. And as Donna read over there in Peter, that the judgment of God will start in the house of God because we should be the example to the world how to live a right life. And when we're living the way people do, we're not a good example.
And those who are preaching the gospel must live by the gospel.
That's right.
And they're going to be a higher judgment
Absolutely.
On them. So, well, this is Pastor Sheen and Nana Hilton, and we're blessed to be here on this radio broadcast called Raising the Standard every Saturday at 12 noon. This is our, 14th year, Pastor Gene?
17th year.
17th year? Oh,
she lost three
I
years
lost a few years. Wow. We are getting older, but praise God. Well, just keep us in prayer, please. And if you'd like to come and worship with us, we're in Stuart, Florida, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we believe in the prophetic word, I guess, as you can hear, and we believe it is for today as well. We do prophesy, and we thank the Lord. We have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m., and Friday night services, Shabbat services, at 7 p.m., and we have a class at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and we also have prayer at 6 o'clock. So come and join us, and we'll be praying this Thursday, coming Thursday, 9/11, at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida. And you can call us. We'll give you directions and let you know a little bit more about that if you are interested. If not, please pray somewhere. Please find some place to get on your knees and pray
for safety, for our country.
For America, for our country, for our people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the telephone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat it. Area code 772-285-7007.
Amen. So if you got a chance tomorrow, come to the video at 4 o'clock, and you'll have an eye-opener about some of the things about the Islamic faith. And
the four horsemen.
And the four horsemen. We've been seeing things on the news about all this, and you'll
mm-hmm.
get a little better picture. So as we close this week, we tell you what? To look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor
Shabbat Doc? Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.
Standard.